ends. I gotta turn it all around because I know I can't just have my cake and eat it too. Cause it's real easy to stay on the fence and still do you. And it'd be cool if we could love the Lord and still go do our thing. But see, it doesn't work like that. We gotta be white or black. And in the words of a beautiful woman, y'all, we really have to get it together. Yeah, I know that nobody's perfect, but still we gotta get it together. Cause if we wanna make it to heaven, y'all, we really gotta get it together. So Lord, please help me get it together. If you hear what I'm talking about, sing it with me. We gotta get it together. And Lord, I really need you to help me and help us get it together. Cause if we wanna win souls for Christ First Church, we gotta get it. Yeah, so please, Lord, help me get it together. Cause if it's God that I'm after, I just can't serve two masters. And before something happens, I gotta turn it all around because I know I can't just have my cake and eat it too. Cause it's real easy to stay on the fence and still do you. And it'd be cool if we could love the Lord and still go do our thing. But see, it doesn't work like that. We gotta be white or black. No, it don't work like that. We gotta be white or black. The title of this song is No Gray, No Shades of Gray. No, 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 it don't work like that. We gotta be white or black. I just wanna tell you, it don't work like that. We gotta be white or black. Thank you.
You are listening to KAYT-FM, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1, K255-BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9 FM, K223-BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5 FM, KQJO, St. Joseph, Louisiana, Natchez, Mississippi, 99.3 FM, and K261EB, Lake Charles, 100.1 FM, and online at www.kaytfm.com, the heart and soul of Central Louisiana.
2 Chronicles 7, and as soon as I said that, some of you caught it already, 2 Chronicles 7, one of those texts a lot of us heard growing up, that 16th century Elizabethan version used to say, if my people. But God's Word version says, however, it's on the screen, 1 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, remember this, seek my face. God's Word version says, search for me and turn from their evil, turn from tripping, turn from acting crazy. Lean on somebody, say, he'll get to you in 1 minute. Go ahead. Turn from porn, turn from stuff that's not of God's will. If they pray, here's what I'm going to do. Somebody should get encouraged. I'm going to hear their prayer from heaven, forgive their sins, and Mr. President, if you're watching, heal their country. Heal their country. My subject this weekend, prayer, the real national emergency. You may take your seat in the Lord's house. Prayer, the real national emergency. In the past, I have stated that in 2017, 16, the leadership mantle of our nation was passed from a dignified Democrat to an unpredictable Donald. Sadly, our political discourse has now been reduced to 3 a.m. tweets by our commander-in-chief whenever he's in his feelings. He stated that he feels that the building of a wall on the southern border has now become a national emergency, again in an attempt to appeal to his radical far-right base. I think all of us with just a bit of common sense who have lived more than 10 years know America has far more pressing emergencies than a wall on the southern border. If not having a wall would lead to our extinction, we would have been gone already. God has kept us without a wall. And speaking of national emergencies, I would suggest that our greatest emergency as a country, as a church, as a family, come here, brother, as a man, is a lack of prayer. That when we learn how to get in the face of God and trust him more than we trust anyone else, trust him even when we can't trace him, he will make a way out of no way and sustain you. All marriages that are tripping, all singles busting moves that are unlike you and God's word, I'm telling you that prayer or the lack thereof might be the greatest national emergency. In our text, it's amazing because 1 Chronicles 7, most of you, again, know it. I'm telling people, don't assume anything now in this countercultural society we live in. You have to be countercultural because culture suggests the word of God is not important. A lot of people don't read like they should. In verse 1 of 1 Chronicles 7, you see it up there? Look at it. Verse 1 says, when Solomon finished praying, fire flashed down from heaven and burnt up his burnt offerings. Wow. When Solomon finished praying, let's break Solomon down. The Bible says the wisest man that ever lived. If I believe the Bible, me, your father, no preacher, no pastor, no one that has ever lived or shall ever live will be wiser than Solomon. He had God's wisdom. God said, this is the wisest man that ever lived. And yet, he goes into prayer. I guess I'm already peeping a pastoral parenthetical, and that is that a wise man prays. A wise woman prays. One might argue that the true attribute of true wisdom would be prayer. That if I really have wisdom, then I know without God I can't do nothing. The Bible says Solomon goes to God. Why does he go to God? I don't know. I'll just trust you'll read 1 Chronicles like in your spare time and just look at the whole of the text, because in it you'll see Solomon takes over for Daddy David. All of you know David has the heart of God, his Daddy David, but David had problems because he always let his loins lead his logic. Slept with a woman that was not his because he let his loins lead his logic. Be careful, brother, you end up with a whole lot of baby's mothers if you let your loins lead your logic, amen. And so David, good brothers in here who have bad flesh and bust some moves you have to pay for a little bit. And Daddy David, it did that. And so now Solomon takes over. He's a wise man, but he doesn't have Daddy's charisma. Some argue not Daddy's leadership ability. David, a bad brother, man after God's own heart, the sweet summers of Israel. That's a whole lot to come behind. And now here he is in charge of God's people. And David tells the Lord, he said, please, I'm wet behind the ears. And Solomon tells the Lord, I'm wet behind the ears. I'm not good as my father David. I don't know how to guide your people. Lord, if you don't show me what to do, I'm a mess up. I ain't just saying this because I'm up here. I'm not just saying this. Here I am, quarter century in the game, in leadership and pastoring. I still feel like Solomon. I don't know what I'm doing. I said, God, please help me. Give me the right decisions. I don't want to do anything to mess up all these people jam-packed in 2-3 churches. Give me the wisdom to know what to do in the future. Don't let my lack of patience mess up what you want to do in the Word Church. Don't ever let me fall into something they got to explain to their friends why your preacher do that or who was he with. Lord, give me the wisdom because I don't know really what I'm doing, but God, if you hold my hand. Have you ever said that about your children, like, I don't know how to be a mother. My mother didn't even mother me. But God, if you give me your wisdom, I can get through this. I never seen a man raise his son and love one woman. And here I am trying to be a father and a husband when I never witnessed either. Give me your wisdom. The Bible says he prayed to God. Y'all ready? Verse 1 again says, and when he prayed, fire came down from heaven. Now, some of y'all just sitting there like fire be coming down in your kitchen all the time from heaven. The Bible says fire fell. Look at this theophanic presence. Is this God on the low? Comes down like fire. Not the first time we've seen it. Remember, Elijah is standing there, and they're saying, Baal is God. And God said, I'm going to show you who's the real God. And Elijah said, if your God be God, then let's see which God shows up. And the Bible says, fire fell from heaven. Gideon wanted some proof. Fire came. We see David. Fire came. Y'all got to catch this, because can I tell y'all there's something going on? God reveals himself when you pray. When people pray, God will reveal himself. The Bible says he showed up and fire consumed the offerings. You know, there's this Gallup survey. This Gallup survey. And Gallup did a survey. You'll love this. And the survey was this. Peep this. Way back there, look at me. The survey was this. Here's the survey. The survey was to unchurched persons or persons who left church, what would have to happen for you to go back to church? What was it about church that threw you off? And if you had to pick one thing, what would be the one thing that you might say, you know what, I'll go back to church. I think you would assume, like me, that maybe one of the first responses would have been shorter sermons. Let me make sure I hurry up, amen. Maybe number two, I wish they wouldn't ask for so much money. I don't know. But guess what the number one answer was? It would trip you out. Everyone replied, or the majority replied, if the pastor and the people in the church had more passion. I said, what? That's what Pookie said? He said he'll come back to church. So even Pookie said, Pookie ain't mentioned how long the sermon was. Pookie ain't mentioned the bad parking. Pookie ain't mentioned nothing about the money. Pookie said, I walked in there and it didn't even seem like they loved him. So how you gonna ask me to love a God while you sleep with me while you go to that church? So maybe if you get yourself together, it'll make me want to show Jesus. Because you're telling me to come to church while we in the bed. I don't know who the Lord sent me to preach to. Lord, do me a favor. Let people see Jesus on me. So I gotta tell you something. Somebody here for the first time, and they're deciding if they're coming back or not. Make sure when they walk in, they know that God's been good to everybody in here. And the reason why we show up, we don't just want a sermon, but you ought to say, Lord, send the fire. God, I feel like preaching here. Oh, I wish I had somebody that would say, God, let the fire of the Holy Ghost fall fresh on me. Some of y'all still sitting there. You ought to walk in church saying, I just don't want a sermon. I want the power of God to hit my row. Hit my section, hit my pastor. Do me a favor, slap three people, say, I want the fire. I know some of y'all, I know there's a rumor out. I know people talking about the word church. Girl, what's happening over there? They say he went to Africa and came back and lost his mind. They say deacons are preaching, speaking in tongues, and young brothers with tattoos are prophesying. What's happening in there? We don't just want 3 points and a joke and 2 songs from the praise team, but 6 people walked in here saying, God, if I'm going to go to church, send the fire. Do I have anybody here that would say, God, let me feel your presence? Call me crazy, but when I come to church, I don't just want to learn, I want to feel. People say, I don't like all that emotion, I just want to learn the word of God. Then girl, go to school. When I come to church, I wish I had 6 people here. Touch your neighbor and say, I can't shout on my job, I can't get high, I can't have sex, let me shout. Is there anybody that would thank God that you got a place to come and say, God, have your way? These kids getting on my nerves, he getting on my nerves, they getting on my nerves, but when I think, yeah, about the goodness, the Bible says that the fire fell. I'm asking God, I asked myself this morning at 5 o'clock while praying for you, this question came to my mind, and that is the question for every person in here is, what is your primary reason for sitting here this second? Don't look at your mama, look at me. Don't look at your wife, look at me. What is your primary reason for sitting here this second? I just thought I'd pose a question. Is it to meet some kind of Christian quota? Well, I guess I got to go at least 1 hour a week if I'm a Christian so I can go to heaven. No, 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 no. I ain't just come here to meet no quota. Mm-mm. And I ain't just come here because Christians supposed to go to church on Sunday. I'm too grown. I'm too grown with too much to do to be any place I don't feel like being, including church. So if I'm going to come here, Lord, meet me here. Let me experience the power. I ain't just trying to come and walk a country mile past 2 parking lots of 9 people just to sit in the balcony because I'm late. I came here to feel the presence of God. Now do me a favor, all downtown, all online, throw your hands up and holler, sanctifier. Sin, 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 sin. Woo, I feel God. Sin, 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 the fire. The Bible says in verses 2 and 3, how packed was it? The priests couldn't even get in. Now I'm going to say something, and 6 of you are going to miss it, so I'm going to try it. Because the priests could not enter the temple. Why? Because glory. This is not something I'm making up. Hey, brother, look at me. Glory. You ever felt that in church? I'm serious. We got to do better. We got to do better. That's why I'm going to teach on prayer, and we're going to keep praying, and person's going to keep getting spirit-filled on another level, and I'm going to pray before I come, and I'm going to beg God to give me minstrels who actually pray before they play, because we all got to work together. You can't have an anointed pastor and all nasty singers. You can't have anointed singers with a nasty preacher. For the glory to come, you need the people on the front praying for you. You need the intercessors. You need the mothers of the church getting down on their knees. You need young bros with tattoos to say, I may be thugged, but don't get thug twisted. That just means transform heart under God. That's your acronym for the week. Slap somebody and say, I might be a thug. Go ahead, yeah. Transform the heart under God. That's your thug. Can I suggest to you, when it all flow right, glory will hit the church. I've been in church all my life. I'm a church boy. It don't happen every time. If you could have seen the glory that just hit Akron, I was coming back saying, God, do it again. The glory hit Akron so hard, I couldn't even finish service. I just stopped and walked on out. The glory just hit. Can I tell you somehow how much glory was in there? Bible says the priest couldn't get in. I keep saying that, but you keep missing it. I'm peeping a cognitive disconnect between the pastor and the pew, so I'm going to say it again. The priest, okay, 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 okay. What would be the equivalent or analogous to that? It's like 12, 13, and they up here singing, and God then hit the house, and people praying in tongues and falling out and getting healed. And then finally somebody says, is pastor coming? And then somebody announces, girl, the glory is from here to South Miles. He can't get in. My question is, would you leave if I wasn't here, but the glory was? So do me a favor. Look at your neighbor and say, I love my pastor, but I ain't come for him. Go ahead. No, I walked in saying, God, speak to me. Let your glory hit my life. Break every yoke, break every chain, break, I wish I had, the glory. The glory. Oh, I gotta hurry up, but can I just announce I want the glory to hit your house, hit your kitchen, oh, forget it, hit your son's room, hit your daughter's room. I want glory to hit downtown. I want glory all in the parking lot on 55th. I want glory all in California where you're watching me, all in North Carolina, all in New York, wherever you're watching me. You need glory because church not enough. 10 bruhs, saying I come every week, but I still do my thing the rest of the week. And 10 sisters saying, I know I love me some Jesus, but I still got like 6 habits and some personality stuff and be snapping and getting depressed. And if this is what it's going to be, we just going to do this 30 years, pastor, together? No, at some point you have to say, God, I want something else. Yeah, I don't just want church attendance. I want the glory. Now, 10 people, I got to go. I got a long way to go. But I hear 10 people saying, you know, this glory is emotive response, the barometer or measuring tool for the glory. So the louder I am, right, that means like I'm the most filled or the most spiritual. No. That's an exaggeration. However, the antithesis would be this. I would suggest to all of you who say, I may not jump up in church and I may not make any noise, but don't think I don't love God. Only thing I want to say to that is just don't let me see you making noise no place else. If the Browns win the Super Bowl on a last-second Hail Mary, you better sit right there. If you are Alpha and your boys start stepping, you better not say nothing. If you're at a cabaret, you better sit in the corner. You better not make no noise, because if you ain't gonna make no noise for Jesus, if you wanna be quiet, then be quiet all the time with your quiet self. You're not quiet some places, so if you're gonna be quiet for the world, quiet for the game, quiet for your fraternity, if you're gonna make noise for everybody else, then when you think about Jesus, you ought to say, God, feel. You know what? Take 25 seconds and make some noise like God's been good to you. All downtown, go ahead. All over the world, if God made a way out of no way, touch your neighbor and say, I can't help it. Whoa. I gotta get out of here. The Bible says, in the glorious presence, y'all can stand up or sit down. I just got a roll of the Lord filling the temple. They fell down on their face, worshiping, praise God, saying, the Lord is good. They said, the Lord is good. And then they said, the Lord is faithful. Try not to shout. We've been shouting for 10 minutes straight. We need to calm down, but might as well stay up, because you're going to jump up again. Because if you don't get nothing else, here's one immutable, unchanging truth. In case you start looking at Facebook or start texting somebody or get bored and start daydreaming right before you start any of the above, let me just drop this one thing on you. It's all I want to tell you. If you don't remember nothing else, remember this preacher told you, God is good. Yes, he is. Now, some of y'all don't believe that, because stuff is so bad in your life right now that the enemy won't let you see that he was there when everybody else walked away, that he was thinking about you when you weren't thinking about him, that he protected your daughter when you was half a mama, that he paid your bills when you was blowing your money. We serve a good God. He's good. He's good. 10 people don't believe me, because all your kids acting crazy, but he's still good. You don't believe me, because won't nobody ask you for your number, but he's still good. You don't believe me, because you catching hell in your body. You don't believe me, because your mind playing tricks on you. But you ought to stop and tell the devil, no matter how bad stuff gets, I serve. What y'all? Y'all gonna let me finish this sermon? Peace. He's good. He's... Oh, wonderful thing. Woo! Woo! I'm sorry. Touch your neighbor and say, I love God. You don't love God? Ask him right there. Say, you don't know what he did for me. Come on, go on and preach to somebody. Say, girl, let me tell you. Go ahead. Say, brother, let me tell you. Go ahead and preach to somebody. Say, he made a way out of no way. Go ahead. Say, you don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. You don't know how he salvaged my mind, saved my children, brought me back from divorce, got cancer out my right breast, got it out my left breast, fixed my kidney, got me off dope, paid my bills, got my car back, fixed my credit, educated me with no money. Help me, God. First John 5 is what I've been holding on to. Verse 14 says, if we ask anything, we're confident that he hears us. Whenever we ask for stuff that pleases him, and since we know he hears us, we also make our request knowing he will give us what we ask for. You're not feeling me. If we ask anything, King James, according to his will, we know that he hears us. You should have came Wednesday. Because Wednesday, I talked about the reason. Look at me. Great crowd. And you lost an hour of sleep. Look at your neighbor and say, I don't know what time it is in my mind. I think it's 11:30 kinda or 12:20. I don't know. I got a word for you. Here's your second shout. Let me prophesy. God says since you gave up an hour and came to church, he's going to redeem some more time in your life and let you live a little longer. Can I prophesy over some of you and say, just because you got up today and fought your way, I'm going to ask God to give you back some time you lost and redeem some of the time that the cankerworm and the hopping locust tried to strip away from your life. Sit down. Can I tell you this or stand up? The Bible says, and we know. Can I tell you, Word Church Nation, what prayer is about? Those watching me all over the world, this is not, Lord, give me a husband, give me a boyfriend, give me some money, all that's cool in the game. I don't want you to deduce prayer to that. Prayer more cold-blooded than that. Nobody's teaching this. Prayer is not just my gimme list. That's supplication. It's also adoration. It's also relationship. Now, here's what I haven't taught. I wish I was a better teacher. If you catch this, it was worth coming to church. Reason why I'm praying every day is not just to get stuff. From the bottom of my heart, I'm praying more to get him. If I get him and get his mind, then he will tell me who I need to date, who I need to give another chance to, and who I need to walk away from. He will tell me when to quit my job and when to stay on my job. I'm tired of guessing, and I'm too old for oops. My kids can't afford another mistake. I've made four in front of them. So every move I make needs to be tactical and strategic and led, because I got more years behind me than I might have in front of me. So Lord, speak to me. Look at me downtown. Okay, I said it Wednesday, but 50% of the crowd missed it. Here it is. So the reason why I gotta pray right is so that I can learn how to pray right. I know you lost an hour. You're a little slow. Every camp has been slow today. Everybody's sleepy trying to figure it out. Let me come again. I gotta pray right so that I can learn how to pray right. God got the system so cold that I really can't pray his will unless I'm in his will. But I don't know his will unless I ask him for his will. So in order for me to get a yes, then he has to tell me what to ask him for that he's already said yes to. But I can't know that if I'm not connected, because me personally, I've been dealing, look at some of you, in flesh more than I've been dealing in spirit. Reason why you know your child, even if they a trip, is because you deal with them. Reason why you know the person you with, even if y'all doing wrong, you still know them, is because you've been dealing with them. So you know their idiosyncrasies, you know their tendencies, you know what they like to eat. And for years, there are thousands of us who being straight, prayer has not been at the top of my list. But my pastor came back from sabbatical and dropped prayer in the house. In the last 3-4 months, I've been praying like I never prayed. Now, here's what the enemy don't want you to know. Maybe you don't see stuff yet, but you're starting to get your antenna connected so that little by little, you're becoming more like him And it does not mean you got to have $1 million to start to know him. Now, what's going to happen is something going to jump off in your life, and you're not going to react the way you used to. And that's when you're going to know something's starting to happen in my life. And then you're going to start asking for stuff that's his will already. And then things you used to be attracted to, you know what? Somebody ought to shout. God's getting ready to change your attractions. Go ahead. You ought to shout. Stuff you thought you was connected and attracted to, God's going to reveal to you. Is that good? And verse 13 is where the whole place went cuckoo last week. Because there was this whole piece on God setting it straight. Great cry, by the way. If I shut up heaven so that there is no rain, or if I command the locusts, God says, please look at me. This is not narcissism. This is just godness. I'm God. Everything you got is because I said yes. Everything you have, I allowed you to get. Every child with 10 fingers and 10 toes is because I winked my eye. If it wasn't for me, you wouldn't have a thing. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to help you understand my divinity and sovereignty. If I shut up heaven, if I say no, it don't matter who say yes. But if I say yes, it don't matter who say no. If I close the door, can't nobody open it. But if I open the door, can't no. You don't have to kiss your bosses behind. No, you don't have to sleep with nobody to get your bills paid. God will make a way out of no way. And if I'm on God's side, God says I'm running everything. If I shut up heaven, that there'll be no rain. Pastor, I don't need heaven open because I have a good job. I'm debt-free, and I've made good decisions. Unlike some people in this room, I got plenty of money and plenty of everything. If I never work again, my bills are low. I'm good. Don't really need God. I'm cool. Ask Job how fast everything can change. And if money could give you everything, how come the creator of Apple is dead? Because you're telling me with the second largest company other than Amazon in the world, he couldn't stay alive. God rest his soul. Because if God don't say yes, it don't matter how much money you got. You can be gone today. But the Lord, y'all ready to shout? But Malachi 3:11 says something. Don't you run out of here. He says, but I'll block the devourer. Now y'all miss y'all shout. I'll rebuke the devourer. Okay, I'm going to try it again. Every time I say that high language, I lose people because most players have never heard of rebuke or devour or locust or things like that. There were these bugs that used to get on the crops and stop them from reaching their full potential. He says, but I'll rebuke the devourer. Everything, okay, here it is again. How come you weren't on that plane today? And how come you made it down 480 with no meat on your tires? And how come your gas is on when you only put $7 on the bill? Can I tell you what God has done for you? And won't nobody shout? Don't just shout for what you got. Shout for what he blocked. Let's have stupid church. Can I find 8 people in this church that know? Do me a favor. Shout for the bullet that didn't kill you. Shout for the car that didn't hit you. Shout for the man that didn't flirt with you. Shout for the person who did leave you. Do me a favor. Slap 5 people. Say, God blocked it. God blocked it. That's the wrong person. Somebody downtown ought to lose your mind and go to walking around this church shaking 6 people's hands saying, God blocked it. The devil been trying to kill me since I was a little girl. My mother almost aborted me. She almost miscarried. Almost got shot in the club just dancing. Could have got hit by a car. But God had his hand on my life. And before I knew it, he stopped stuff that would have devoured me. Prayer, tithing, living right. It blocks. Why y'all all standing up? Take 20 seconds and praise God for everything that didn't kill you. Go ahead. No, touch your neighbor and say, you don't know like I know. Go ahead, tell them what the Lord has done for me. You don't know. Thank you, Beyonce. I'm the real survivor. I could have got shot. I've been shot. I've been threw out of windows, dated dummies, been hit by brothers. He tried to drive me crazy. And look at me. I'm still here because God said no matter what you bring her way, she'll come out of it because I got my hand on it. The devourer wanted to destroy you. I may catch more planes than anybody in this room other than those who travel for a living. And I don't know how many planes the devil probably wanted to make fall. But God said, not with him on it. You don't know the favor that's on your family's life because of you. You don't know stuff that would have come across, but God said, I got such a plan for his life that I can't let it happen. God says, I'll rebuke the devourer. God says, I'll stop it. So watch this, Israel. Watch this, Solomon. You've been praying sincerely. Let me wrap up. You've been praying sincerely, Solomon, and I've heard your prayer. Do you realize how much power I got? Please tell them, Pastor Vernon, that whatever they have is because I allowed them to have it. Yeah, the reason why nobody shut up the kindergarten class their baby was in is because I said no. That every day there's a demonic attack on their life. Yeah, something's trying to kill you every day. Then, Pastor, how did I survive? Let's go old school. All night, all day. Woo! Angels watching. I wish I had six people that went to Sunday school. All night, all day. Angels watching over me, my Lord. And he says, so Solomon, please, I heard your prayer. And your people have gotten away from me. And they have failed to talk to me. And everybody's doing them because the new mantra in the USA is do you. Yeah, it's only like three channels I can watch now because it's whatever makes you feel good. And that which is abnormal in the 80s has become normal. And now if you mention anything, you are evil or homophobic or you're just this mean Christian because you happen to believe the Bible. And if you don't completely capitulate to the agenda of the world in every way, then you are no longer a nice Christian because you should have no standards. Let everybody do them. And whatever, and we say, God says, no. He says, you tripping, however. Goodbye. It's on the screens. If my people, verse 14, that's what I came for, who are called by now my name. Here's my sermon. I got 5 minutes. I did this in 25 minutes. Will humble themselves. Look for me. Turn. I'm going to hear. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to heal. This is so crazy. First of all, he says, if they would humble themselves. All of these are sermons. I'll do the best I can in 5 minutes. Humble themselves. Oh, my God, the power of humility. Be humble. Look at me. Say humble, 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 humble. Look at this picture because I want you to get a hold of how powerful this is because when you humble yourself, then God, okay. Humble yourself is more than just acting real spiritual. Humble yourself is, God, I don't know how to be married to this man. He's a decent brother, but I really wasn't raised to be no wife. I don't know. These kids, I'm sorry. I'm trying to figure this out, and I don't know. I don't know about this abstinence, single stuff. My mom and them didn't do that. I need you to help me. This porn thing got me. I need you to help me. I don't know. I humble myself. Forget all this cool stuff, all this cute stuff. God, I come before you saying I need you. Lord, I don't know how to be married. I don't know how to be single. I don't know how to raise them. Lord, I come to church not to be cool and impress anybody. I humble myself. Lord, as the pastor, I humble myself before you in the presence of these, your people, saying that I am confused at times, and I don't want them to think that I'm you. You are you, and I'm me. I'm just a pastor seeking your face, and don't even let them praise me. Let them show honor, but let them look to you because... And whenever, okay, you're not feeling me. There's some people just too narcissistic, just too stuck up, too messed up emotionally to say to their husband, I don't know how to be your wife. It's not that I'm a mean person. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I don't mean any harm. And I'm evil at times because I've been broken before I met you. And maybe I'm sorry. I just humbly say to you, would you be patient with me? And thank you because you're not the best husband, but Lord knows you're not the worst. You have tried, you're trying. And you know what I figured out in life? You can be humble or be humbled. I'm preaching better than you responded. Is there anybody my age that know God, know how to humble you? That if you don't humble yourself, life will hit you in the chest. And you'll be on your knees anyway. You may as well bow now because you're going to bow later. So you may as well get on your knees every morning and say, God, I need thee. Lord, I need thee. I can't make it. He says, humble yourselves. Here's what I came for. And then pray. Man, all you young couples, I see y'all, man. I love it. Young brothers, older persons, whoever. And then pray. Here it is. Make prayer a priority. make prayer a priority. I'm going to teach this until God tells me to stop. I'm glad you all keep filling up the church, because I can't move from this until God moves us. Make prayer a priority, not a maybe. Make it, here's a term for you, should jot it down, it'll change your life, a non-negotiable. I've touched these before. What are your non-negotiables? If I polled you, if I asked you, what are your non-negotiables? You don't need 50 of them. Life changes too fast. You're a trip like me. We can be wishy-washy. We're all over the place. We all make mistakes. But grab a couple of non-negotiables in your life before it gets too late and hold on to them. Whatever else marriage is, you'll love this, it is at least a negotiation. If you're going to stay married, you're going to negotiate. Well, one of y'all going to bust a move, or it'll just be, let's stay together like Al Green, no intimacy, unless there's going to be some negotiation. Yeah, there are things about you I'm not feeling, but I know that's who you are. I love you. I'll take you like that. I'll never like that, but that's who you are. You're not a child. You're grown. Let's negotiate, okay? Try not to do this, because that I can't handle. But this part of you, and I'll work on blah, blah, blah. That's negotiation. You should negotiate. Negotiation is a part of life, business, marriage. But then there should be some non-negotiables. There's no capitulation. There's no bargaining. This is a non-negotiable for me. What are yours? Non-negotiable. If I die, I die. Let me perish, I'll perish. But there's some things I don't do. And there's some things I'm committed to. What's yours, by the way? If you took out your phone to your notes page, I said, write down your non-negotiables. One, for me, number one, is my marriage and my commitment to that. I don't play with my wife. I'm not saying that to be super husband. Don't be clapping, because I'm every man in here. I got to fight lust and fight tripping in my mind. Nobody here is perfect. But don't nobody get to touch me who's female sexually while I'm married. I made that up in my mind. It's a non-negotiable. So now when you flirt with me, I'm not honored. I'm angry. Because you see my ring. So what you're telling me is she don't matter, and the heart of my kids don't matter. That make me mad at you. That doesn't make me flattered by you. If every married person, brothers would say, how can she be anything but the devil if she's gonna come between what God has joined together? And you're not even cute. And you can't afford me. Oh, slap somebody and say, you can't afford me. Go ahead, say, you don't know I've been bought with a price, washed in the blood. All brothers, no matter how sexy, tell yourself that's a non-negotiable. Those who have made mistakes in your marriage, so what? The blood of Jesus is over your marriage. It's over. But from now on, it's a non-negotiable. Every brother up here should have ran some up here like Chris and said, in the name of Jesus, I want my wife to know and my husband to know, because women creep too. I'm not changing this to a marriage sermon. I'm simply helping you understand that I've made up in my mind. You flirt with me, I'm going to say your name on TV. Cresha Hutchinson. If your name is Cresha Hutchinson, I'm just playing. I don't know who that is. I'm going to say it on national TV. Don't flirt with me. It's one thing if you don't see my ring, you're just human. Everybody want to be loved. But if you see I'm married, and if you happen to know me and know her, that's the ultimate dishonor. You really think you're cute enough for me to hurt my girl, huh? You really think you that? I said, I'm getting mad. I wish somebody come and flirt with me now. I'll bust you. I done got mad standing here. I'm just playing. Stop laughing. Non-negotiable. I pay my tithe. No matter what. 10% goes to God. I'm not doing this trying to sneak the tithe in because we need money, want money. No, I'm just telling you mine. I tithe. It's been coming out my check. Doesn't matter what happens with you guys. If you all leave, if I have to start again, before there was a word church, I paid my tithe. During the word church, I paid my tithe. After the word church, 10%, I don't think I got here on my own. If you think I'm not going to give God a dime out of every dollar I make when I wouldn't have nothing without him, then you out your mind. I don't care what bills come. I don't care if my house is behind. God first, and he'll take care of the rest. But here's the most major one, and I bid you goodbye. Prayer. I'm never going to let prayer go. Prayer has become a priority, and you can't let it go. No matter what the devil tries to tell you, tell the enemy, this is the time I pray. I don't set no TV. I don't look at my phone. This is my prayer time. Life may happen. Babies may get sick. Something happens in an emergency. But for the most part, this is when I pray. I think I did what I was supposed to do today. Stand on your feet right quick. And I'm going to tell y'all this last one. We're going to go home together. Look at me. Look at me. This is so good. Lastly, look at me. Watch this. He says if they'll pray. And then he says this. Turn from their evil ways. Here's the last thing I want you to remember. Whatever's in your life that's messing you up with God, here's a word for you. Walk away from it. Them, it, her, or him. Them, it, her, or him. Whatever it is, her, it, them, him. A man, a woman, a website, a social media app, anything won't let me connect to him. Anything keeping me from intimacy. Solomon was told by God that they'll pray and then turn from their evil ways. I was talking to one of my sons and helping him through some things, and I asked the question, what you willing to give up to be with him? Because it seemed like you want to keep everything. I know I haven't trained you that way. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let her deny herself, take up her cross. Any church don't teach you about the cross, I want you to quit that church. Any church don't teach you that you got to go through some stuff and give up some stuff just because they want you to join. You better run out of there. No, you got to give up some stuff. There's some apps Pastor Vernon can't have on his phone because my men at my church need me to have holy hands. And because I'm a man just like them, I get stuck on certain things because I'm a man. So I had to say, no, I have to pay somebody to do that. Delete that. I can't do that because that makes my mind play tricks on me, and I need my anointing. I'm too old not to have Jesus close to me. I ain't got no makeup time. I need Jesus. So, no, y'all delete that and take that off. I got the boringest phone in the church. That's okay. Yeah, I can't deal with that. No, we can't be friends because we used to sleep together. And we both human. And I love you, but you take me to a place mentally where I lose my temper. And I'm close to God, and I want to stay close to God. So we can't get together all the time no more because I want him more than anything. My real emergency is I want to be close to God. The real emergency of America, our church, your family is intimacy with God. And I know I didn't hoop and holler and scream, but somebody knows this word was for you. Throw your hands up and say, he's talking to me today. God is calling you back to him. Matter of fact, if you brought somebody with you that you want me to pray for, you ought to bum rush the show right now and just run down here. Even next door, you can just come from next door. Anybody that, you know, you ought to just run down here and say, the man is talking to us. We need our marriage. I need something. I'm going to lose it. I'm going to lose it. Oh, here they come.
Everything I give, everything I give.
Town, are you coming to the altar? The Lord is ministering down there right now. Somebody online, tell us something on Facebook. Tell us that God is speaking. Give us a comment right now. Say, this word was for me, Pastor. I got to get back to God. Mark, I like this part. I give you. Everybody lift your hands and tell them, I give you.
Forever, I give you all of me.
Watching us.